This is session number 20 of the Gospel according to John. We're going to continue in John chapter 3. Jesus Christ is having a conversation with Nicodemus. Nicodemus came to Christ by night and was curious about who Jesus is and about where his power comes from. And Jesus responds and says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Cannot. It's impossible. It's impossible. John 1:5 says, "The light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." It's impossible. He says he cannot see. The natural man cannot see the things of God. The natural man is blind to the things of God and his kingdom. He says he cannot see the kingdom of God. The only way we'll ever see the kingdom of God, and that's just seeing it. That's not even entering it. It's just seeing it. The only way we'll ever see it is have to be born again. It's impossible to see. It's impossible to see. I love Luke chapter 10, verse 21. Jesus Christ, in that hour, he rejoiced in spirit and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight." See, those things were hidden. The things of Jesus Christ and the things of the kingdom of God that Christ was ministering in, they were hidden from the wise and prudent. Now, it's not talking about those who were actually wise and prudent according to God's definition. It's talking about those who are wise and prudent in their own eyes and in their own sight. Isaiah 5, verse 21, you can read about those. And these religious leaders, they were quite wise and prudent in their own eyes and their own sight, but it was hidden from them. They couldn't see the things of the kingdom of God. And what's neat is Jesus rejoiced that those things were hidden from them and that those things were revealed to babes. That's babies. "See, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." This is why this humility is going to be so important, because you're starting over. You're starting from scratch. It's amazing. Jesus Christ didn't really speak a lot about heaven itself just as a place, but he spoke a lot about the kingdom of God. He spoke a lot about the kingdom of heaven, because it's a kingdom. It's a kingdom. It's not just a beautiful place where everybody desires to be, but this is a kingdom. It's a domain. It's an operation. It's being run by a king. There's a rule and a righteousness and a legislation and a manner of how things are done, because it's a kingdom. And we're talking about the kingdom of God himself. Now, if God himself is invisible and he's spiritual and he's eternal and he's righteous and he's incorruptible, if that's who God is, well, guess what? So is his kingdom. Luke 17:21 tells us that the kingdom of God is invisible. And actually, before we ever enter the kingdom of God, it first must enter us. We must first receive it before we can ever enter into it. That's why Jesus said, "Unless you humble yourself like a little child and receive the kingdom of God, you'll never enter into it." Jesus here said, you'll never see it. You can't see it unless you're born again. It's invisible, it's spiritual and incorruptible. You can read about that in 1 Corinthians 15:50. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Romans 14:17. So true. You begin to receive the righteousness of God, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and walk in that righteousness. And what you find is you have peace that you never had before. And as a result, you're going to have joy. You're going to just be surprised by the joy that there is in Jesus Christ. But you can't see these things unless you're born again. And the kingdom of God is eternal, 1 Corinthians 15:24. So Nicodemus, verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" So we see Nicodemus' confusion. He has no idea how this can happen. It doesn't even make sense to him. Now here, Nicodemus is speaking literally, physically, earthly. But I don't think Nicodemus is being serious here when he responds. I don't think he's seriously saying, well, how can I do this? Am I going to have to go back into my mother's womb? I think he's laughing. I think he's joking because he has no idea what Jesus is talking about. And so he's just kind of going with the analogy and he's just kind of joking around about it because he doesn't understand it. And a lot of times when you try to talk to people about new concepts that they don't understand, and sometimes situation and things where they feel uncomfortable, they kind of joke about it. You know, they make a joke about it. And I think that's what Nicodemus is doing here. But notice, Jesus doesn't play into the joke. Jesus is going to begin to instruct Nicodemus. So verses 5 through 8, Jesus is about to instruct him in this new birth. So in verse 5, first he's going to describe the new birth. Verse 5, Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So again, we see the rule is the same. The rule is man cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Okay, back in verse 3, the rule was man cannot see the kingdom of God. Here it's he cannot enter. Let me tell you something. In your natural state, left to yourself, you are not worthy to enter into this kingdom. You're not worthy to live forever with Jesus Christ and his kingdom. You're not worthy to live in the presence of the Father with your sin in his pure and righteous kingdom. The natural rule is man cannot see the kingdom of God and he cannot enter it. But praise God, there's an exception. And he made an exception. And he said, except, again, verily, verily, okay, this is truth that can be worked out in reality. This is in verity. And it's a double confirmation. And again, this is Jesus' doctrine. He says, I say unto thee, this is Christ's doctrine. He said, except, here's your exception, a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So now this text is a controversial text. And we need to look at it and we need to pray God give us clear understanding of it. Because he says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So some people argue that the water is water baptism, and you must be baptized in water first, and then you must be baptized in the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. Other people argue that no, the water is the water birth of when you're first born naturally. That, you know, like when you're about to be born, your mother's water breaks. See, you were in the water inside your mother and you have to be born of the water. You got to come out of the water, come onto this earth as a natural living being of flesh. And then you need to be born of the Spirit one day. And that's the new birth. And so that's kind of the big debate. Others also take the water to be the Jesus is speaking like a parable, speaking an analogy here, and the water actually refers to the Word of God. And so the Word has to come and wash you, and then the Holy Ghost has to come and fill you. Okay, so the question is, which one is the true interpretation? Which one is the correct application? I would argue that all three are absolutely valid to what Jesus Christ is saying. The Word of God does not always just have one specific application. Remember, this is the Word of God, God, right? There is only one God, but he has three different parts, if you will. The Father, the Word, the Holy Ghost, these three are one. So he's one God, but he's three, but he's one. So too with his word. His word is one word. You know, when you read a verse, there's one word there you're reading, but often there's three applications, and it can apply to past, present, and future, and it can span all of time. Okay, first let me talk about the water baptism. In the context of John, the book of John, and specifically in Jesus Christ speaking to a Jewish man of the Pharisees, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. when Jesus says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now notice, when he says a man be born of water, he doesn't say born of water and the Spirit. If it was born of water and the Spirit, then the water and the Spirit are working together in the exact same thing. It's just a compound thing. Because it'd be one birth born of water and the Spirit. So it would be water and Spirit working together to create one birth. Working together in a compound manner. But that's not what it says. It says, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. So it almost implies it's two different births. A man must be born of water and he must be born of the Spirit. Because it's two different ofs. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. So in this context of the book of John, in this context of Jesus dealing with Nicodemus, this ruler of the Jews, I would say in this historical context, the water could definitely apply to water baptism. And here's why. Back in chapter 1, John came baptizing in water. And his baptism was a baptism under repentance. And his baptism was to prepare Israel for the one who was going to come, who would baptize in the Holy Ghost. So you have these two baptisms, this water baptism of John, and then it's all pointing forward to this baptism of the Holy Ghost that's going to be brought in by Christ. And one thing we know, if you read the Gospels carefully, and if you read the book of Acts carefully, the Jewish people, the nation of Israel, during this time, during the time of Jesus and during the time of the early church, while Israel was still standing as a nation and the temple was still standing in Jerusalem and the sacrifices were still going on in accordance to the law, the Jewish people had to first be baptized in the water before they could receive the Holy Ghost. That's clear throughout the Gospels and throughout the book of Acts. The Jewish people, the nation of Israel, this is not true for Gentiles. In Acts 10, you're going to see different. The Gentiles get the Holy Ghost first, and then they get baptized in water. But not with the Jews. The Jews had to repent. They had to make confession. They had to believe. They got baptized in water, and then they would get baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so when Jesus is speaking, remember, verily, verily, I say unto thee. So he's talking to Nicodemus, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. These Jewish people, this nation of Israel, the people he's dealing with right there, they had to respond to the preaching of John and the preaching of repentance. And they had to prove it by getting in the water. And they were born of the water in that sense. See, because this repentance, it was like starting a new life. It's like saying, I've been ignoring God. I've been ignoring the ways of God. I've been ignoring the law of God. And I want to come and I want to start fresh. And so I'm going to get in this water and I'm going to be cleansed physically. But that's not really what's making the difference. And so this is what Peter talked about in 1 Peter chapter 3. So we have to be careful because some people say baptism won't save you. Well, a water baptism by itself does not save, of course. That's just water hitting your body. That's not what saves you. But baptism does save us, but it's a different baptism. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21 says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us. Baptism does save us, but look what he says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. So when those people were baptized in the water, God was starting something new in them through this work of repentance. And it wasn't because of their water baptism. It was because they heard the preaching and they answered to that preaching with a good conscience toward God and said, what that preacher's saying is right. And I need to change. I need to turn from my sins. I need to forsake my sins. I need to confess my sins. I need to turn back to God. And I need to dedicate myself to the Lord so that when the Christ does come, I can be part of his kingdom. I can be in on what he's doing and I can receive his baptism of the Holy Ghost. You see? So this born of water and born of the Spirit, in this context of John, and in the context of the Gospels, in the context of the book of Acts, can definitely apply to the water baptism. Because even right after this whole conversation, in verse 22, Jesus and his disciples are going to go and they're going to baptize. They're going to be baptizing in water. And in verse 23, John is going to continue baptizing. And in Acts 2, Peter's going to say, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, that you may receive the Holy Ghost. And you're going to see in Acts 19, people are going to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus in water, and then they're going to receive the Holy Ghost through the laying on of hands. They'll be baptized in the Spirit. See, God gave this order to the Jewish people because God gave them his word first, and the word is likened to water. They were expected to respond to his word in faith and in obedience before he sent the Holy Ghost that was going to bring about this new birth. The new birth is ultimately brought by the Holy Ghost, but Jesus is saying that this born again thing, you got to be born of water and of the Spirit. So these Jews, they had to be baptized in the water. They had to respond to John's preaching, and they had to answer with a good conscience toward God. And then Christ could come, and after he was resurrected, they could be baptized in the Spirit, and they could become part of this new and better covenant. Okay? Now, in a spiritual application, the water is definitely tied to the Word of God. In Titus 3:5, it says, we're not saved by works of righteousness, but according to his mercy. And it says, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So there you have two things. First, the washing of regeneration, and then secondly, the renewing of the Holy Ghost. This parallels perfectly with what Jesus Christ says. Born of water, that's washing of regeneration, and of the Spirit, that's the renewing of the Holy Ghost. See, so there has to be a washing first before the Spirit can make us new, renewing of the Spirit. That's being born of the Spirit. In Ezekiel 36, part of the promise to Israel of this new and better covenant was the fact that in Ezekiel 36, God made this promise that they had departed from the Lord and they had profaned his holy name. But then in verse 23, he says that he would sanctify his great name and they would know that he's the Lord and he would take them from among the heathen. And then in verse 25, here's the promise. He says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from your all your idols will I cleanse you. That's a working of repentance. And he says, I'm going to sprinkle clean water upon you. Then, verse 26, then he says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. You see? So first, there's a washing, a sprinkling of clean water that's going to turn them from their iniquity and their filthiness and their idolatry. And then God's going to reach in and put a new heart in them and a new spirit. See, that's the born of spirit. So born of water and of spirit. He speaks about this clean water, the sprinkling of clean water. And this is definitely associated with the word of God, the preaching of the word, the preaching under repentance. What did Paul preach everywhere he went? Two things, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. See, born of water, that's repentance toward God. You're hearing the word, and the word is sprinkling your heart. It's sprinkling you. It's cleansing you as you're turning from that wickedness back to the true God. And then faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. What's that? That's born of the Spirit. When you finally come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone, that is when you're born of the Spirit. That's the new baptism. And again, this sprinkling of water, he calls it clean water. When you read 1 John chapter 5, John gives us the revelation that Jesus Christ didn't come by water only, but he came by water and blood. And so when we are sprinkled with this clean water, it's water and blood. And again, in the scriptures, water is likened to the word. And blood, well, we know blood is. Blood is for sacrifice. Blood is for atonement. So it's through hearing the word about repentance and the word about Christ's blood being shed for us, that through that, he sprinkles our heart from the evil conscience. He sprinkles our heart from the evil conscience. And that's what he talks about in Hebrews. And then as a result, we can come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, where we're then born of the Spirit. See, it's water and the Spirit. So these are just some thoughts about the water and the Spirit. And definitely it could apply, because the following verse, Jesus is going to contrast being born of the flesh versus born of the Spirit. And certainly you could apply the being born of water as the flesh part birth and being born of the Spirit as the Spirit part birth. So it would definitely apply there too. But Jesus says, except a man be born of water. So again, I think primarily in that context of what was going on there, these people had to respond to the preaching of John. They had to be baptized in the water. But for us, the Gentiles were never required to get in the water first before receiving the Holy Ghost. So for us, what's required of us is we have to hear the word. We have to hear about the blood. And when we hear about these things and we turn from our uncleanness and we turn to God, that's the washing of regeneration. That's the being born of the water. And then when we turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and God finally reveals Christ to us and we put our faith in Jesus Christ, that's where we're born of the Spirit. And again, you think about this, being born of the Spirit, what a powerful thing. Again, Titus 3:5 talks about it as renewing of the Holy Ghost. Romans 8:15 and 16 talks about it, the Spirit of adoption. Man, we receive the Spirit of adoption. We're adopted into God's family. 1 John 4:7 through 12 talks about it being born of God. If you're born of the Spirit, well, the Spirit is God. So you're born of God himself. You become a child of God. And when you're born of the Spirit, man, God is love. And so one of the ways you can see if you're born of God, if you're born of the Spirit, is the love of God will dwell in you. And you'll love God, and you'll love the people of God, because you're into a new family. You're born into the family of God. Amen? It's powerful. Verse 6, he contrasts. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That's important for us to lay hold on. That's important for us to hold on to that. Let us never forget that. God is a Spirit. So if you want to become God's child, you must be born of his Spirit. When you're born onto this earth naturally, you're not a child of God, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh. You're not born of the Spirit. You're born of flesh and blood parents. So you're flesh and blood like your parents. But in order to become God's child, you need to be born of his Spirit. That's why you need a new birth. The first birth isn't good enough. A new spirit is created when you're born of the Spirit, that can finally be joined to God, 1 Corinthians 6:17. It can finally learn and receive from God, 1 Corinthians 2:12-15. It can finally, this new spirit can finally live without sin, clean and pure, 1 John 3:9. This new spirit can finally worship God, John 4:24. This new spirit can finally serve God acceptably, Romans 1:9. And this new spirit is called the new man, Ephesians 4:24, Colossians 3:10. It's a brand new man. When you're born of the flesh, you're flesh. That's a man. But when you're born of the Spirit, you're spirit. You're a new man. You're a spirit man made in the image of your Father, who is a spirit. God is a spirit. You're born of him. It's powerful. Okay. I'd like to go on, but before we go on, I think we're going to have to wrap it up. So, Jesus Christ explaining, expounding the new birth. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Amen.